Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show. I am Hollis. Hey, happy Friday to you. Hope all is going well. Hope you're not too hot where we're at. Here in Arizona, it is 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's already 100 degrees out. So, yeah, we're hot here. But we've got a special guest back on this show. She's a speaker, author. She's a personal coach who talks about the importance of relationships, seeing red flags in bad relationships. Yeah, how do you overcome a bad relationship? How do you see when things may be going wrong in a relationship? You know, wonderful guest. She came back and so excited about that, you know. You know, I want to ask her, too, when we get started. She has a course online. I want her to talk more about that, too, because I think it's very important to get, you know, to try to get the skills to bring something important to the table in a relationship. I guess not just money, not just physical, not just emotional, but combine all of that to make a good relationship. What do you see in the next person? What do you see? What's happening where maybe you're not really connecting on a regular basis with a person you thought you loved? Well, further ado, let's welcome to the show our special guest. We're so happy to have her back, Ms. Melody Chatamoyo.
I'm great. You today.
Yes. I hope where you're at, you're not too hot. Like I said again, out here in Arizona, we all got our air conditioners blowing hot because it's hot out here. But again,
you're so lucky. We have had a winter day today in Dublin. So
really?
It's been raining and dark and yeah. Anyway.
Okay. We'll trade a little bit of that. You get a little bit of this and we'll be all happy. That's good.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, before we get going, please tell us a little more about yourself. Talk a little about more about yourself. And tell us where you're calling from. That's so exciting. Where you're calling from and your new book. Let's get going. Go ahead.
I'm calling from Dublin, Ireland.
Wow.
A little place called Ireland in Europe. I think it's the west of Europe. And yeah, but I'm originally from Zimbabwe. You can tell my accent does not sound Irish. I'm originally from Zimbabwe. I've been living in Ireland 25 years. And my book is Why Self-Love is the Key to True Love. That's the topic of that book. And the reason why it is such a weird topic is because I was, you know, grappling about what should it be about. And that's it. If you need to love yourself first, you need to, you know, fill your own cup first. You need to see yourself first before you start looking outside and looking at other people. And if you do that, everything else falls into place.
You know, that's a good segue. You say love yourself. What do you mean specifically by that? I mean, are you in good mood? Do you just, you know, you're not negative? You know, what are some things, some tips about improving yourself and being in love with yourself first? Give us some tips.
Oh, wow. I love that question. So a lot of my clients would be women. And women were raised critically. Like, if you want, naturally we've evolved through criticism. So if you want a woman to change, you say, oh, you look too fat in that, or your dress makes you look, chubby or whatever thing that you don't want. And then that woman or that color doesn't make you look beautiful. That person would never wear that color again. They never, you know, so that's how we were raised. We were raised through criticism. So when we look at ourselves, we usually look at the things that are not okay about us. And we glaze over everything that is good. And it gets worse, actually. When we get praised for something, we don't receive praise very well. We kind of, you know, try to brush it aside, be a little shy, and even disregard it or say, no, you can't say that. Or you don't receive love. You don't allow someone to love you. I'll give you an example. So with a friend, she gives me a lift to go somewhere. And one day she needs help, some form of help from me. And I try to offer it. She always says, no, it's okay. I can handle it. Even though she can't handle it, but she will say, I can handle it. So that she seems like she's independent. She can do things for herself. That's unable to receive love from others. If you are doing that, if you take a pause, do you allow yourself to receive love from yourself? This is, I am tired. I need to take a break. Do you actually take a break? Or do you keep pushing yourself? And there's a balance there.
Yeah. You know, it's the love thing in our lives is so important. I mean, it obviously love has been around forever. It's going to be around forever. Different kind of love, different kind of relationships and stuff like that. But so many of us just don't get it right. And I think, me growing up, and I said, oldest of a single mom relationship, so we didn't see the dynamics of a couple. You know, maybe now these days, because we have the internet, we can go and kind of read and kind of give some resources on how to do this. And first, as a man, you got to sit down there and put down that I am a he man, I'm this and this, and realize that, hey, you got to have a sensitive side too. Hey, you got to be able to talk to the partner. You got to be able to listen to the partner. You got to sit there and make some flexibility, stuff like that. Why do so many people get it wrong? Why do I see, online and on TV that multiple divorced by certain women who are, beautiful, wealthy, have been to multiple divorces? This can't get it right. Why in our world we can't get it right?
Because we approach love with fear.
Yeah.
And we have also commercialized love. Commercialized love in this way. As you know, the world was evolving, I don't know who started this, but someone told women they needed to be provided for. And so all they needed to do was look demure and pretty and look a certain way and behave a certain way, and the men will come and sweep them off their feet and provide for them. And if people have participated in this a long time, until the time when women started providing for themselves. Providing meaning providing money for themselves. They can now buy their own cars. They can now buy their own food. They can now buy everything for themselves. So they are not going to be as tolerant, yes. I don't like that word, but of some of the behavior of putting down women or disregarding women or whatever that was going on in their lives. Because they had to put up with it for a long time because they depended on men for survival. But if you don't depend on someone for survival, now you are looking at how am I being seen? How am I being treated? And does that work with me? Unfortunately, we are also using the lens or the lenses of how we look at ourselves. Most of us don't think we deserve love. We don't think we are worthy of love. If you are fortunate, if you come from parents that are really loving and really caring and really saw you, you might understand that you deserve love. But then if society changes that with shame and guilt and all sorts of things, when you come across someone, a man, you are going to look at him as a almost like an adversary, not a potential partner, but an adversary, whom you need to play up with and do these dances where we are going to go for dinner three times to sit in the type of restaurant where he's going to buy you this and buy you that and do this and open the door and close the door and all sorts of things. All these are games that we play. And if someone goes out of that aligned system that's there, then they are not worthy of being in love with or being in life with or sharing a life with.
Yeah.
But that is very, very limiting. It's literally putting love in a box and packaging it and saying, this is what love is supposed to look like. And love is not like that. Love is messy and gooey and painful. And it's actually not easy because it pushes your buttons. And it pushes your buttons in that. I remember one of my clients saying, you know what, he's doing this and he's doing that. And I said, but do you love him? Yes, I do. And I said, is your love bigger than whatever these things that he's doing? Can you allow your love to receive and accept whatever it is that he's doing? If it's not enough, if your love is not enough for him, you should move. You should walk away. But if you can use your love to accept him, to embrace him, to see him as a person who has faults and problems and whatever, then you'll be okay.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, let's go to your book a little bit. Can you explain the main premise of your book, why love is the key to true love, and what made you write about the particular topic? We mentioned a little bit of this before, but I really want you to deep dive into it and kind of explain to the listeners, kind of paint that picture of the premise of the book, why you wrote it, and what can they get out of it?
I wrote it because I wanted to tell my story about how I met a guy who was a really good guy who became a man. We grew up together. We met when we were teenagers. We were 19. And we dated for about 6 years while we were in college and doing the master's and all that. And we got married soon after I finished his master's, and I was still in college, actually. And then we migrated to Ireland, and which has its own challenges on relationships because you get into survival mode, you stop feeling yourself, and then you can't connect with someone else. That's a different subject. So we got to Ireland, and we started to just antagonize each other because we were both going through a very difficult time. We were adjusting to a new country, new culture, new food, new smells, new weather. Everything was new. And we didn't know how we fit into that. And we also did not have a support system. So we didn't have friends or family to buffer us from the exposure of being alone in this pool of people you didn't know. And I blamed my husband for everything that was wrong with me, as you do. And after a while, I started to think, maybe I married the wrong guy. Maybe I need to find someone else. And I told him, actually. I just went to him and I said, you know what? I don't love you anymore. I think we should get a divorce. But for now, maybe we can stay together because we had a young baby. I was in college. He was in college. He was finishing his PhD. I was still doing my master's. And we kind of thought, okay, for the sake of our baby, we need to make peace and just be together for now. But I'm the type of person who really love joy. I really love joy. And I couldn't live in an antagonistic environment. And as it happens, our child was reacting to our energy a lot. Like every time there was tension, she would have nightmares and she would jump in the court and everything. And I didn't want her to go through that. So I started working on myself. Like I just started going to the gym, connecting. I now had friends, so I would go visit my friends and would spend time laughing. I would come home lighter and feeling happier. And I could talk to him like a person then, like a person I knew and liked. And that changed the way we connected. And we revisited our relationship and we realized we still loved each other. We still cared about each other. And all this other stuff that was going on was not because he didn't love me or I didn't love him. It was just now with, 2020 hindsight, I realized that we were going through a traumatic experience, but we didn't know at the time we were going through a traumatic experience. So we got back together, but we got back together in a very intentional and conscious way because I didn't want to fall asleep again and then lose him again. And neither did he. So we started this practice where we would, if we were not happy about something, we would say it. and we would express our pain without blaming the other person. And we would also be grateful for the fact that, you know, we had chosen each other on a daily basis. And then my husband died. Like, we had 6 years of bliss, like real serious bubble of bliss. Mm. And then my husband was diagnosed with cancer and he passed away. Mm. After he passed away, I started to remember, because I'd forgotten we were almost getting divorced. I started to remember that actually something went wrong in the middle. And then, you know, I don't know, how did we get back together? I started to write a lot to find out what happened, and I realized what happened, all the work we'd done. At the time, I didn't know I was doing any work. And so I felt really upset, because all that work was just for nothing. Because I didn't have anyone to practice with now. So I thought, if I write a book, you know, someone would pick up the book and read it and realize that you can rescue your relationship. You can, even if it seems like it's over sometimes, if you have a decent person. So I would say this. If a person is beating you up or emotionally abusing you, you shouldn't try to mend that, because it's very hard. But if a person is a decent human being and they are a decent person towards you, you can mend your relationship even if you feel disconnected from them. You just need to be conscious of it and intentional of your actions. And be very, very kind. In the book, I actually say, love is kindness. Mm. We are not kind to the people we love. We torture them a lot. We take all the crap from outside the world, we bring it to the people we say we love, and we take it out on them.
Yeah. That's great. That's well said. You know, before I go on, I would just sit there and say that at first that we're so sorry for your loss. That's just so hard, but you come through that very well. So thank you for sharing that personal information. And also, you mentioned that you reevaluate yourself. You went to the gym. You start taking care of yourself. You start doing things for you. Like in our country, mm-hmm. things are crazy, and people start making that adjustment. The first thing that their spouse thinks is they're having an affair. Why are you so happy?
Yeah.
What are you going to gym for? What are you making the makeup on for? What's going on? You're having an affair. But you guys obviously talked it out and worked out and realized that, hey, no, I'm not having an affair. Is that this is important to me, and it's going to make me appreciate you even better. So that's good for you. I mean, just congratulations for that, because as you know the stories, people start going to the gym. All of a sudden, they start wearing different clothes. They start doing this and this. Oh, shoot, she's having an affair. He's having an affair, right? Is that true?
Yeah, and that's the fear coming in, right? It's all about, I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be left. But if you take it differently, if you sweep, even if it's to say, oh my God, you look great today.
Yeah.
That's different from the usual that you've been having. So the person is going to notice that you've noticed that something's different about them. Who doesn't want to be noticed?
Yeah.
Right? So it's just, don't take it like I'm going to be left. And again, it's that whole, you don't value yourself enough. People don't think that they are good enough to be a lifetime partner for someone. That's why we are always afraid they are going to leave me. So we pretend to be someone else so that we are not left. But really, if you are yourself and you are authentic to who you are and stand by it, and that person stands by you, they will never leave you. Because there's something about you that they love.
Outstanding. Hey, Melody, can you share some strategies or practical advice for individuals who struggle with making love a conscious decision in a relationship? So, even though we all want it, it seems to be so hard for other people to, share it, show it, men being sensitive, women being, it's just so confusing, I think. I mean, and again, too, I want you to not only talk about that, but how do the love thing happens when you're older, when you're in your 50s and 60s, maybe you're divorced, maybe you got a couple older kids. How does the love thing work that way? You know, because again, I'm single. I want to get back in a relationship. I'm looking. I got my standards up here. Do I lower my standards? Do I do something that, you know, how do I make it work being a older gentleman who's been through divorce, has an older son, adult son? How does that all work? Share some ideas on that.
Okay, I'll start with this. Every client I've ever worked with, this started by accident, but every client I've ever worked with, we go through what I call a healing process. The first thing we ever do is to look at what's the stuff that's inside you that's not meant to be there. Who hurt you? What are you carrying? Whom have you not forgiven? What's that thing that happened 40 years ago that you still remember to the minute? We talk about forgiveness a lot, of yourself, of other people. We remind each other that human beings are not meant to be perfect. This whole Prince Charming and living happily ever after dream that they all gave us, they make it seem like that's the end, when actually it's just the beginning, right? So my first step with anybody, and you do healing work first. And if you, I actually have a free one. I have a $10 one, I think, course for healing. I go through with it with people myself. I do a live one as well. I do webinars and I talk about it, because the healing piece is the missing link to love. And all my clients thanked me for doing that healing work with them, because then they started saying, one of these ladies, she came to me and she actually won a course with me. And she said, but my marriage is fine. And I said, yeah, I get that. Let's just do it. And she had never forgiven her dad for what he did to her mother when she was 13 or something. And she was still carrying it. And therefore, she wasn't even close to her siblings. And she couldn't tell her husband exactly how she felt or ask for help from her husband and her kids. So she was running a business totally flawed because she did everything for everybody. And when we started doing that work, I worked with her for 3 months. And we met every week, just the two of us. And her husband asked to see me towards the end and said, I need to see this person who has made my life so amazing. Her children, she had, like, her oldest child was 12. They would make sure every Friday we met, her time was sacred. They would make sure we met. They would say, Mom, it's time to go coaching, because they had a different mother because of the coaching. She was gentler. She was nicer. She was kinder towards her family. And it's that healing piece. All the other things are tactics. So we talk about communicating. How do you ask for what you need? Do you know how to ask, or do you assume people know? And most of us don't ask because we're afraid the person is going to say no. But that's that fear again, fear of rejection. How do you navigate that? And how do you ask for forgiveness and receive, and actually receive love? Do you know how many people actually don't like receiving love, especially when it comes to women? Because I work with women a lot. We tend to say, oh, he doesn't love me. What we mean is he's not saying the words of love, even though his actions are showing love. But if you're not saying the words, women tend to say he doesn't love me. But if you look at it, if you look at what he's doing, he's playing you a dedication. Every day he goes to work and does the job he hates, he's dedicating his energy to you.
Yeah. You know, you got
and
somebody...
it's just how you see, yeah.
You got so many topics we can talk about. It's amazing. You got a lot of shows in you. So we're definitely going to have you back. Definitely, because it just makes sense. We need help so badly. You know, so this is something that we should have on an ongoing basis, because I want people to understand and listen and learn from you, because you got great stuff. You got great content, great information. So thank you for that. And before we go on, please tell us, where do we go after this show to get more about you, learn about your courses, and buy your book? Where do we go?
My book is on Amazon, so that's easy. Yeah, at the moment. I'm going to put a proper page on my website for it. And I have a website called heartpassioninstitute.com, heartpassioninstitute.com. I like long names. I don't know why. And at the moment, I've mentioned that I'm doing free webinars, talking to people about how to have a blueprint for love, how to, and you are welcome, Hollis, if you want to sign up. I will give you a link to it. Every 2 weeks, I'm doing this. And the reason why I'm doing it, webinars or masterclasses, I call them, is I want to meet people. I want to hear what it is that people need. And just play around and see what, how can we transform relationships from them being, you know, a battlefield to being a rose garden where we're smelling the roses and we're loving each other. And, you know, because I still remember my friends saying to me, "You are just saying that because you met a perfect guy." And I was like, "This guy is not perfect. He's stubborn. He's annoying. He's like, you know," I could list 20,000 things. But one of the things I saw initially, which I think I should mention, when we were just early in our dating, I noticed that his confidence was very low. Mm. He had a mother who liked to put him down a lot. I didn't know that at the time, but I could see that he didn't take praise very well. So I would elevate him, but then he would shy back. And I thought, this is going to be difficult down the line. Because if you don't have confidence, no one can give it to you. You have to claim it for yourself. So I made a point of always praising him. And like, not just praising him for no reason. He was an amazing man. So there were always opportunities for me to say, "Oh my God, this is great." And as a parent, if you are a parent, if you have young people next to you, your children, your nieces, your whoever, please praise them. When they do something amazing, tell them and allow them to make mistakes. But when they have done something good, tell them, "Oh my God, that's so amazing." Even if they've made a mistake, it's good to also attempt to do things. Right? So I started praising him. You know, when he bought me amazing lunch, or he took me somewhere, or he did something for himself, if he passed his exams, even if he had been struggling, I would praise him. And that praise paid dividends because he became a very confident man, self-assured. He didn't need me to make him feel like a man. He felt like a man himself. And because he felt like a man, he didn't allow me sometimes to play games with him. I'll give you an example. One of my friends said, "Oh, yeah, you go break up with him because to see what he does." And I did, you know, because teenager. We were distant. He was in college. I was in another town. I wrote him a letter and said, "I'm breaking up with you." I didn't even give him a good reason, like, because I wasn't intending to break up with him. And he replied. I still remember the reply because it made such a big impact on me. And he said, "You know I love you. You know I'm committed to you, and I don't like playing games. So next time, I will take you seriously if you ever threaten me with play with my emotions again." So much respect for him for saying that. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a letter immediately and apologized. Those were the days before email, people. A long time ago. Yeah, but because he stood his ground, I respected him, and there were times when we agreed to disagree, but he respected me for having my own values, for saying, "I'm not moving on this because it matters to me." That's what people don't understand, that if you have your own values, your spouse will respect them.
Melody, how does forgiveness heal past wounds? You know, how does it help you when you forgive? And how do you start the process to get that forgiveness out there? I mean, again, when it comes to men, they sit there and get their egos and their man. So as a man, maybe you say something and it's like, "Oh, shoot, I didn't mean to say that." So then she's got to forgive instead of, you know, maybe a woman right off the bat, because she's hurt, she just starts firing back. So how do we get to the point where we start forgiving and then we can start the healing. How does that happen real quickly?
Forgiveness is taking out something and letting it go.
Yeah.
I usually say it's like digging up weeds from your garden and throwing them away. So it's saying, I don't want this crap to be inside me, so I'm opting to release them. It doesn't mean you allow the other person to get away with it, right? I'll give a very good example, actually. My husband cheated with me with our friend. They got together, they had sex, fine. And I was hurt. I was hurt immensely because this was a double betrayal. This was my friend, and, you know. And so I, for a long time, I think it was 2-3 years, I couldn't get past it. And then I thought, but I was still married to him. And I started to see that, you know, okay, there were so many accentuating circumstances for this thing to happen. And they were both guilty. I did not let them get away with that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want thing to be the thing I carry with me the rest of my life. It wasn't serving me. It wasn't serving everybody. So I called this woman who did this with my husband, and I sat her down, and I said, I am choosing to forgive you because I don't want to carry this thing with me. And from now on, because I have decided to forgive my husband, I'm going to forgive you too. And for me, forgiving is actually really letting go, which means if I saw them talking to each other, and I did see them talking to each other, I'm not going to say, oh my God, they're starting this thing again. Because I was very clear, you do this again, that's it. Your chance is gone.
Yeah.
And I move on, and I'm happy, and I know I'm God's gift to mankind. I don't know whether it's confidence or not, but I know whatever man is in my life, his life is not going to be the same again because of how much I'm going to love him.
Mm.
And that belief in myself is the thing that would take me to, okay, if he doesn't want me in his life, it doesn't mean I can say goodbye and find someone else. There are 7 billion people in the world.
Yeah,
there's only one person I need. I don't need 7 billion.
That's it. You're wonderful. Final comment for you, Melody. You mentioned the importance of setting boundaries. Okay, so in closing, just give us some tips on setting boundaries in relationships. So we can kind of, again, maybe setting boundaries for a young couple and maybe setting boundaries for an older couple. Because, again, being in my 60s now, I tell you what, again, I don't go to bars anymore. I don't drink and stuff like that. So I'm trying to get my significant other at the gym. And that's this day and age, getting a relationship at a gym is hard because everybody's got these thinking earbuds on and stuff like that. So you can't really have conversations.
You can't even.
It's so weird. It's just so weird. But again, it's a whole different story. It's a whole other show. So in closing, let's talk to us about setting boundaries for each other.
Setting boundaries is telling someone that this is okay or this is not okay with me. So I would say this. There are people who like to laugh at people who are disabled or, you know, people who have things that they were born with. And my line is always like, we don't do that. And all my friends know when Melody's there, we can't make fun of other people. Because I would tell them, I will actually literally walk away. Mm-hmm. That's my line. In a relationship, if someone's tendency is to come shout at you, right, because they're angry, or use words that are painful, you can say, and this is a setting a boundary, you don't talk to me like that, and you walk away.
Mm.
When you are ready to have a conversation, come, we have a conversation, but you don't talk to me like that.
Mm.
And that people will learn how to treat you. In an older couple, I think it's the same thing, because we have picked up all these things that are not healthy in being together. So a lot of us are 2 years old when we are in our 60s, right? So we don't have a lot of emotional maturity. You can still say, I don't need you to talk to me like that, even to your children. I don't need you to treat me like that. Or I don't deserve to be treated like that. So someone leaves you behind. Or they make you sit for 10 hours while you're waiting for them and they don't even apologize, you can say, okay, it's fine. Don't get upset. That's what you decided. But I am not the person that can live with this, so I am choosing to take myself away from it. Don't get aggressive. Just get factual. And you'll find your life will be so much easier.
Outstanding. Melanie, you deserve a standing ovation. Hold on.
Oh.
That's a standing ovation from thousands of people listening right now, so it's awesome. But thank you so much for calling us today from Dublin, Ireland. I love it. You have a great weekend. We definitely want to have you back because we want to continue the progress. We want to continue learning from you. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend, safe weekend. Enjoy your great weather. We're so jealous. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you so much, Hollis, and thank you, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Self-love is the key to true love, all right? Contact Melanie. Great stories, as you hear. She has great stories. And her book is so much about her and her relationship, her marriage and stuff like that, how to overcome things. You know, a lot of us would not respond well, find out that your spouse had an affair. A lot of us wouldn't respond well when you sit there and say, hey, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to work out, I'm going to get stronger, I'm going to look good, just that. Some of us don't respond well to that. Well, if you go and read her book, you can understand why it's important to do that. That's self-love. That's taking care of you. And if you take care of you, you feel good about you, then it's very easy to share that love and that goodness with others. You know, I mean, it's just, for example, I can be at the gym. I go to the gym 6 days a week, so I see people there too a lot. And there's one lady, beautiful lady. The time I've been going to that gym, and she's going to that gym too, I have not seen her smile. I just don't understand. And maybe that's her defense mechanism to tell people to stay away from her. But that works because I've never seen her talk to anybody else. But that, to me, it's when you're out in public, shoot, you can throw a smile every now and then. I've never seen her smile. And to me, that's unbelievable, you know? So you walk outside, you're feeling good about yourself, you got self-love, smile. You know, smile. Let people know you're feeling good. Once you're at the gym, you're feeling good. And boom. I mean, again, if you don't want anybody to try to pick you up or try to sit there and say, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm in a relationship and I really don't want to sit there. I'm here to work out. You can talk about it. You're adults, okay? Hey, guys. Great Friday. Great show. Melanie, make sure you follow up with her. Get the book. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you real soon on the Hollis Chapman Show. And as always, I'll see you.